Carl Varg could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome to the studio, Steve. Your intro was peaking a little bit there. I do apologize.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for your welcome to me to the studio.
I was going to do a round of applause,
but really appreciate
it. It's not too late, right?
No, it's not too late. Go. Yeah, very good.
Okay.
As I learned at a magnificent screening of Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii at IMAX, the funniest number of people clapping in a room is two. Because one person clapping is there's something they've just mistaken what's going on. But two people clapping with exactly the same enthusiasm level, but 398 people not clapping around them is the funniest number of clappings.
Why weren't the other 398 people clapping?
I guess they just didn't fucking get it, man.
Right. Okay.
were these people clapping after each song?
They made the way to Pompeii.
They don't know when to clap.
Yeah, but they were in Pompeii. They spent all their money to go to Pompeii.
It was a Pink Floyd at Pompeii screening. The level of stonedness
that makes sense.
It was very high, and it was a kind of a type of stonedness that was not really interacting with
clap in Pink Floyd.
Who's there to hear the clapping? I get it, but also two enthusiastic clappers is a great number.
Can you remember what they clapped for? Was it a guitar song?
After great songs and trippy visuals.
Yeah.
Pony were the ones who were clapping.
Oh,
yeah.
You were there.
Carlton Crisp was at Pompeii.
It wasn't like we were clapping for weird reasons. It was rock and roll, you know? Yeah. It was the other people who were wrong.
Yeah.
It was organic.
Yeah.
They were all jet lagged.
And then this guy next to us started laughing at us.
Was it Steve?
I can't believe you.
I found a lot of things amusing that night.
Can't believe you guys went to Pompeii. Without me.
Totally. Well, the days of movie junkets are not over, obviously.
No. Yeah.
Got a lot of studios.
Couldn't make it that night.
But, Vesuvius.
Hey, next time you go to Pompeii, let me know.
But I understand we're not talking about the cinema.
No, all people clapping.
All people clapping.
Not
we're
really.
Talking about some televisual.
We're still in the opening.
So, in my day job at Flix, I often get asked when movies are coming out.
Do
so,
you?
It might be like conversationally. Mm-hmm. From individuals such as like I'm looking at an individual right now, or other times just inquiries to Flix. And one of the films I've been getting the most queries about is when new A24 comedy Friendship, starring Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd, is releasing.
Can I just say I literally have typed in I do this all the time, but I'll just type in watch Friendship NZ. Flix is the first result, and I click on that, and it's incredibly handy.
It's become increasingly incredibly handy, because until maybe a week or so ago, there was no date attached to the film, so it was just reinforcing the fact that we don't know
either. We can't watch it.
But you know now.
But we know now. It's coming to cinemas July 17.
Next month.
Not too sure the scale of this release, but fans of either aforementioned actor have got a lot of reasons to check this out. I've banged on a bit about Tim Robinson on this segment. His Emmy-winning show, I Think You Should Leave, is one of the best things you could possibly watch on Netflix. Yeah. If you
Four series worth now, isn't it?
I think they've done three now.
Okay.
I think it's three.
Anyway, a lot to watch.
is it two?
I have a hunch it's two.
I think it's three.
You're the expert, Esther.
I think it's four.
Dom reckons it's pi.
Pi r squared.
I'm curious about how Paul Rudd is going to fare in the Tim Robinson universe.
Listen, on Paul Rudd, guys?
Oh, look, beloved actor, but...
He's always had a thread of old comedy.
Come on, Dom, could you please... I was going to give you the mic, but then you told me not to.
I'll just say one thing. He's always he was in Wet Hot American Summer, so he's always like...
I'm
wanting to be down with the cool comedy kids, you know? So I think that says something good about him.
Yeah.
Slap it a bit.
I think everyone's been in love with Paul Rudd since Clueless, right? Like it's like such a he's been a presence, and he hasn't aged more than 4 years since that film. I was going to say a day, but that's taking a bit of license.
It's that Hollywood lifestyle.
So this the premise of this film, which is still some way from the critical community of Aotearoa getting to see it, is a male friendship forming in the suburbs between Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd with some very unhealthy characteristics starting to develop.
Uh-oh.
Tim Robinson seems to be playing a very similar character to the numerous ones he plays in I Think You Should Leave, which are essentially just different variations of guy takes unreasonable position and defends it to the nth degree and loses his shit.
Yeah.
The picture that immediately should come to mind is a man dressed in a hot dog costume saying, we're all looking for the guy that did this, which makes a lot more sense when you see him see the hot dog wreckage car in the store as he's turning to all the other customers going, oh, who did this? Paul Rudd has been in a kind of similar position before, but inverted, and I love you, man. I think we just got a little slapper to base, man, out of Dom before. So that was around the other way, where Paul Rudd was the more well-adjusted guy, and Jason Segel maybe less well-adjusted. Here, Paul Rudd's the cool guy.
Right.
He's got a band. He's got a band, guys. He's in a band.
He's straight man.
I would assume he's the straight man. Surely.
He's the charisma. Yeah. And Tim Robinson seems to be the disaster. Really looking forward to seeing this. But if you haven't watched I Think You Should Leave, get that stuff into you immediately. And also worth checking out is his previous show, Detroiters, that he made with Sam Richardson. Tim Robinson learnt his trade in a kind of unorthodox way on telly. He was only the second person on SNL that went from being a performer to just a writer. So he kind of entered as a guy that was destined for screen time, but just turned out to be.
But then they were like, right, get off screen.
He was Well, I don't know. Maybe he was disillusioned with the whole like, I'm more of the behind the scenes guy.
It was definitely not his call.
No, I know. But that's what you say. It's like, well, I did in front of the camera stuff, but I'm more behind the scenes guy. I just want to say that. Yeah, it's not really my place.
His specialty is like screwing up his face to be the most ugly version of himself he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that just pissed Lorne Michaels off.
Right. So he was.
And
he
screaming
was
a lot,
he's got, he's
basically.
Like he was like he's born for like British TV in a lot of ways, don't you think?
There's also a really strong skater sentiment that kind of runs through his work. He is a skater himself, and now that he's proper famous, he just goes out for a skate with famous skaters. But
Jason Lee.
What is he just like? Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk. He's older than us.
Bam Margera. Does he still skate?
Bam.
He's alive, right?
I think he's alive, I think he just got scanned for the new Tony Hawk game, so he's certainly alive enough to go on a scanner.
He's alive in some form.
But I think kind of gluing some of these sentiments together, let's throw out a little bit from I Think You Should Leave. This features the voice of the late, great Biff Whiff. And a song that wasn't attributed to anyone when the episode aired, but is unmistakably Turnstile.
Okay.
You go back. Listen to your daughter's solo. It's too late for me. I'm awake now. Go on.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. Everything is great and everything's tonight. If you want to feel the feeling, you want to feel the fire, then that's all right, because don't grow tired. If you want to be great, then you got to be good. Do it now in the neighborhood.
Good.
So the sentiment there being that an old fellow has heard a song which tells him there are no rules anymore, and so he's given up following rules, and it's just totally blown his mind. Allegedly, it was that song. So hopefully it's not like a scenario where everyone's now been infected by this no rules virus.
But yeah,
we've just broadcast that to the nation.
Yeah, I'm now realizing what I've set in motion. It's a dystopian scenario.
This is where it all kicks off.
Sorry,
this is where it all kicks off. Sorry, everybody. Revolution starts here.
What's the Carpenter movie? They Live. Oh, so that's a terrible reference. Sorry. Wasn't that about a broadcast that drove
you? Yeah. Glasses, anyway. Glasses and that, fights
sure,
and stuff.
You're not talking about, what's the one with KAB radio? No, I was veering way off track. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
subliminal
it.
Subliminal messaging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not so much a broadcast.
Yeah. Join the Navy. Just say it.
So hit up I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. Track down Detroiters where you can, and we'll see you see you at the cinema on July the 17th for Friendship.
Ah, amazing.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you.
Also, a thing that was at the movies and is now streaming was The Accountant 2, which I didn't see upon its release, but Prime Video made it very explicit that they had it, so I ended up watching it. Well, it's The Accountant Squared, isn't it, actually, the way it's kind of graphically drawn. Ben Affleck doing autism tourism and John Bernthal doing kind of grumpy.
Can I ask a genuine question? Why does Ben Affleck have that accent in that movie when his brother John Bernthal does not?
It's an autism accent.
What's an autism accent? Can you guys say what is the autism accent?
Hello, can I please get to me? He kind of talking like that a little bit, right?
Right. And that's autism.
It feels problematic, sort of.
I mean, to be honest, it is kind of one of the more entertaining things about the film is like, wow, they're doing that.
There is also a bunker of children who are on the spectrum, but the way the movie portrays it is as if they have superpowers.
Yeah, oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's extremely X-Men. Like right down to where their kind of base is, but
they're like prepubescent and they're solving crime problems on the go and stuff.
I think we've got so accountant two. Give us a bit of a background to the what's
yeah,
the accountant
so there's
one
an
like?
Autistic accountant.
Yeah,
Who does stuff for cartels and the mob and money laundering and stuff. But he's also extremely proficient in weapons, just as he is with numbers. Okay. And he gets involved in a couple of good, honest, morally driven cases of effing people up.
He's really good at murdering people.
He's really good at murdering people.
It's one of those, like, the father decided early on he was going to raise him to be an ultimate killing machine and good at numbers.
Right, yeah.
The main reason I mentioned it today is that I did see a review by Tony Stamp on Letterboxd of this film, or at least a star rating, and it was positive enough to get me to watch it. I did not like this movie.
Well, hang on.
I'm putting all the pressure on you
We've
now to go,
Tony Stamp right
hey,
here.
What did you think of this? What did you think of this movie? And why did you like it more than me?
I have a joust.
I can't remember how many stars I gave it.
It was 3.5.
Three and a half. Yeah, that's pretty generous. I came home from seeing this movie and relayed each plot point to my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And when you, secondhand, eh? It's like, well, we've already gone over the bunker of kids. That's pretty amusing. He line dances at one point.
Oh, yeah, actually, he does line dance. That is quite good.
For like 10 minutes in a rather charming sequence.
Bernthal gets you 2 stars no matter what. He's Bernthal rules. He elevates anything he's in. He's more in this than he's in the first one.
Bernthal adopts a cat at one point. I just found it all pretty extraordinary. Dom enjoyed it. Yeah. I can't remember the first one, eh?
Did you explain the plot points in the autism accent?
Good, Stephen. No,
Stephen.
Okay, just checking. You pass, and I'm gone.
Bye.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, here we go. Here's an outro.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.